Jesse's sons stood before the prophet. Their father knew a king would soon be found. When each one passed, except the last, no one thought to call him. Surely he would never wear a crown. But when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, in just a moment he can touch you and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. One by one, problems come and dreams get shattered. At times it seems so hard to understand. But things like chance and circumstance, they don't seem to matter. Our Father holds tomorrow in His hands. And when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, in just a moment he can touch you and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Well, it wasn't the oldest, and it wasn't the strongest chosen on that day. And yet the giant fell, and nations trembled when he stood in the way. And when others see just a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, in just a moment he can touch you and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. God may see a key.
And now I'm going to let my wife have the first pick, but then I'll go to one of the other ladies and give them a second pick. Linda, since you're close, I'll probably get you second. Katie third, and probably Sharon probably get you fourth if we get a chance to get that far. Amen. If somebody gets long-winded, we'll have to cut it off at three, but hopefully we should get four in by God's grace. Amen. So trapdoor, amen. All right. So the men already have spoken to us at the men's devotion, and they did a tremendous job with us. Some men have more than one message that they can preach and teach from. And so we're going to go ahead and start this thing off. Let Mrs. Dawson and again, Mrs. Dawson, make it a little suspenseful. Go around to some folk. Amen. And then.
Good morning. Okay, as Pastor White says, and my dad, just stand up, preach up, and be quiet, sit down. So I'm going to time myself. Okay, turn over with me to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. Everyone there say amen?
Amen.
Any omies? Okay, so Matthew 4, 1 through 2 says, "Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered." Father, thank you for this wonderful day you have given all of us. And please fill me of your Spirit and empty me of self. Help me to preach this through my heart. And just thank you for the attendance that's here. And everyone who's after me, help them to do a good job too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, the devil tempted Jesus from everything he could think of. Satan wanted Jesus to at least do something wrong. Now, all these temptations that I'm about to use for an example, Satan was in all of them. Turn over with me to Exodus 2, verse 11 through 12. Everyone there? "And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." Okay. In this one, Satan tempted Moses to kill an Egyptian, and Moses actually fell for it. So Satan was influencing Moses to kill that Egyptian, and then when Pharaoh heard about it, he just wanted to get Moses out of the land of Egypt. And so Pharaoh, he just chased him out and said, "You would be the king of the scorpion, the locust, the bugs, anything." And so turn over with me to Genesis chapter 37, verse 20. Okay, and right here it says, "Come down and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." So right here, Joseph's brothers, they lie. They just want to kill Joseph for his dreams. So they throw him into a pit, and they lied to their father about a beast devouring him. And the beast actually didn't devour him, so... And Moses actually was over his brothers one day, and they sow what they reap. So they wanted Jacob, their father, to think that Joseph was dead, but he wasn't. So Satan was in that, and Satan influenced Joseph's brothers to tell a lie to Jacob and say that an evil beast hath devoured him. So turn over with me to Genesis 9, verses 20 through 21. Everyone there? "And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent." So uncovered means he was naked in his tent. So Noah is tempted to drink. So Satan influenced him to drink. And so he fell for it and was naked in his tent. As I was saying, uncovered means he was naked inside his tent. So turn over with me to Genesis 27, and so Genesis chapter 27, verses 17 through 24 says, "And she gave the savory meat and the bread, which she is all Rebekah. And she, as I was saying, she had prepared into the hands of her son Jacob." Verse 18. "And he came unto his father and said, 'My father,' and he said, 'Here am I, who art thou and my son?'" And as it says in verse 18, it says, "Here am I." That's Jacob, not Esau. So Jacob lies about being Esau. And so Jacob says, "Who art thou, my son?" And so Jacob, picking up in verses 19 through 24, he says, "And Jacob says unto his father, 'I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless thee.' And Isaac said unto his son, 'How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?' And he said, 'Because the Lord thy God hath brought it to me.'" So Jacob is in double jeopardy right here. First, he lies about being Esau, and then he lies about how God bring it to him so quick. And while Esau's out there hunting, Jacob comes right there and starts to just lie and try to be Esau. And it's just because Rebekah, she's the mother of Jacob, so Jacob has to obey her. And so Rebekah, Satan is influencing Rebekah, and Rebekah is influencing Jacob. So Jacob goes and lies. Picking up in verse 21, it says, "And Isaac said unto Jacob, 'Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not.' And Jacob went unto his father, and he felt him and said, 'The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are of Esau.' And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, and his brother's Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, 'Art thou my very son?' And he said, 'I am.'" So he lies again about being Esau. Okay. So right there, Jacob is tempted to lie, and he does it. And as I was saying, Satan, he influenced Rebekah, and Rebekah influenced Jacob. And so Jacob goes and lies. So what it's saying is Satan, it's actually Rebekah's fault, because Rebekah let Satan influence her, and then Jacob let his mother influence him. Turn over with me to 1 Samuel 15, 22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than of the fat rams." So right here, Saul's tempted to take the best sheep and oxen and their king. And so Samuel comes and tells Esau that God said to kill all the best sheep, kill all the best oxen, and kill the king. But Saul bring it all back. And so Satan's in that too. So the main reason of all of these temptations was disobedience and turning away from God. And turning away from God isn't good. Okay, turn back to Matthew 4:4. "But he," which is Jesus, "answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" So right here it says that Jesus, he was using scripture to defeat Satan. And Satan actually was gone. So God right here is, Jesus right here is trying to show us how we, as Christians, can use God's word to defeat Satan too. And Satan, he'll just try to trip you any time he can. And as I was saying, Jesus shows us how to defeat Satan. And don't give in to Satan's lies. He is very, very powerful. So my dad asked me every day, "Were you tempted in school?" I had to say yes every day, because as I said in the men's devotion, Esteban, he is that bad kid in school. So he just says, say bad words, Gregory. Say bad words. Say bad words. I'm like, no, thank you. No, thank you. I don't want to say bad words. My dad tells me not to. Now, if you would turn over to Ephesians 6:1. And so Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So my dad tells me that if Esteban tempts me, just ignore him sometimes. So, and he tempts me to say bad words. So obviously Satan is influencing Esteban, influencing. So Satan likes to influence anyone he can to get people to do wrong. Like in Joshua's class, he has Luke and Zane that sometimes influence him to do bad, but he just ignores them a whole bunch of times. And like I ignore Esteban when he tries to tell me to say bad words. And then my dad told me last night that if Esteban tries to influence me to do bad words, like for instance he says let me copy off your homework, blah blah blah, so I can get 100% on it just in case you get 100%, and so I go like, no thank you, I'm not sharing my homework with you, and you're not gonna copy off of me. So I just say, you're not copying off of my homework, and then he goes like, well, if you don't let me copy off your homework, I'm gonna tell the teacher. And so I just go like, well, just tell him the teacher. So the teacher was standing right there all the time and busted him. And so Esteban, he's like, and the teacher was like, I heard you all the time. And then he was like, And then he just goes like, I didn't say anything. And so I go like, he was trying to copy off of my homework, and then he got in trouble. And so he had to stay after school. And after that time, I was like rejoicing. Yes, 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 I got him. And so as it says right here, Matthew 4, verse 4, he says, but he answered and said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so I sometimes use scripture to defeat Satan while he's influencing Esteban. And there was another time when Esteban, he was just trying to influence someone else to just trip me. And so as I was saying in my notes that Satan can trip you anytime he wants. And so you just got to resist it with the word of God. And the word of God is one of the most powerful things on earth. Like, I use scripture to defeat Esteban on recess. Well, not Esteban, but Satan. And so Esteban, he was like, just hit that person in the face with a dodgeball. I was like, no, thank you. And so I defeated Satan. It's not like we're against war or something, but I defeated Satan influencing Esteban, so. While I was playing dodgeball, Esteban was on my team. I was like, oh, no, not that. And so I just go like, I just ignore him. He goes like, hey, throw the dodgeball at her face. I'm like, no, thank you. God says not to, he says not to just get back at someone, not to do evil for evil. And so, Esteban, he was like, and so I was like, I got him again. Yay, thank you, God. And then that time I actually took it for granted. And when I took it for granted, I just realized that I took it for granted. I was like, oh, why did I take this for granted? Dear Lord, thank you for this wonderful day that you have given us. And I just say that because I say thank you for letting me defeat Satan. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you that you filled me with your spirit and emptied me of self. Thank you that I got to preach your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello, everyone. Okay. The title of my talk tonight is, What Are You Being Prepared For? And if you'd like to open your Bibles to Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2 says, make sure I got the right one. I'm at 2:2. I got to go to 12:2. Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Dear Father, I do thank you for this day. I thank you for this night. I just thank you for your word, that we can learn from it. I just pray that you would speak through it clearly, and the message would get be understood, and we might learn something from your word as we should. I just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's obvious that people are prepared for life in one of two ways. One is the way of the world, and the other is the way of God. First, the world would have you believe that you're going to go to school in order that you will later get a job, and that you're going to labor to get rich, to get money, and then along the way you'll raise a family, whether it's a godly marriage or not. And then you're going to let the world educate your kids with teachings of evolution, homosexuality, abortion, etc., that totally go against the will of God and His Word. And then after that, you're going to work and you're going to retire. You're going to spend the money that you earn, you spend your IRA. While you're doing that, you're going to try not to think too much about your impending death that's about to happen. Mm-hmm. And then it happens, you die.
Amen.
And all that preparation for that whole life is for what? To die. That's it. There's no thought for what comes after death. The world doesn't prepare anyone for heaven. The world would have everyone believe that everybody is probably going to end up in heaven because we aren't that bad, as long as, you know, our good outweighs our bad. But the world sadly only prepares people to go down the path that leads to hell. And as long as Satan, through whatever he can do in the world, keeps people from trusting in Jesus, those people will end up in hell. Because the Bible states, he that believeth not on Jesus is condemned already, but he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's John 3:18. And as the pastor talked about a month ago or so on a Wednesday night, Satan doesn't want us to realize that we have that condemnation hanging over us right now if you don't trust in Jesus. It's there. You're not going to be, you don't have to do something to get condemned as an unbeliever. You are condemned until you trust in Jesus. And if Satan can keep people happy with what the world has to offer them and away from God's word and his people, or as my verse for this talk says, conform us, if he can conform us to this world, people won't have any reason to turn to Jesus. And Satan's job has gotten a lot easier, I think. We've got so many things to keep us away from God's word, and it's working quite well. We've got computers, we've got the internet, with its millions of websites that you can go to and waste your time. Got video games that are on every possible device that you have. We've got cell phones that have the internet on them. We've got TV and cable with thousands of worthless channels. You have everyone with a story to tell, and everyone's writing a book about that story. And all those books have no eternal value to us at all when we read them. But everybody has to buy them. And buy them up because they have nothing better to do, especially don't have anything better to do in reading the Bible. So they'd rather read something else. And we have music that's out there that promotes every type of ungodly lifestyle that there is. And when people follow Satan's plan in this world and they get to the end of their lives, they may hope for heaven or believe that they'll get there like the world has been telling them that they probably would. But since they haven't been prepared for heaven, they won't get there.
That's right.
If you let the world prepare you for your future, you will reap that future, and ultimately that future is in hell. But praise God, there isn't an alternative way to life, and that second way is when a person is prepared for their eternity by letting God prepare them for it. Remembering we must allow God to prepare us for that eternity. It doesn't just happen. We must seek God's wisdom. If now you could open up to Proverbs 2. I'll be reading from there. Starting at verse 1. Okay. Proverbs 2 states, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest her for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of the mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things." Now, my Bible correctly states, it's got a note that I really liked at the bottom, and it reads this. It says, "The conditions for obtaining wisdom are given first. One must earnestly seek it." It's not just going to happen. You have to seek wisdom. As a prospector would search for gold. It is not an undirected search, however, since the parent's instruction is the basis. And that's what I have here, that that's where it all should start, with our parents. It doesn't always happen that way, but that's the way God meant it to happen. We are blessed if we have godly parents who put God first in our child's life so they know no other way. Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it."
Amen.
I was blessed to have parents that were loving and provided for all my needs, but they didn't know any other way. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong part here. They provided for me, but they didn't know about being born again. They weren't Christians. They went to church. They did good things, but they were not born again. They were just kind of religious. But still, they at least didn't me have go a different way. It's kind of down the middle, but that was a good thing. But it would have been better if they were saved, if they had gotten saved before that and shown me, you know, who Jesus was from the beginning. And I think about that now when Paula and I are raising our kids. I tend to think about where I was in life as to the ages of where my kids are now. They're 7 and 10. And I'm so glad that they don't know all the worldly things that I knew when I was their age. I look back and it's like, wow, I knew a lot of stuff that if I had Christian parents, I wouldn't have known that stuff. I wouldn't have been doing this stuff. I wouldn't have heard this stuff. But I'm also glad that at the ages they're at, they know a lot more about God than I did, because I practically didn't know really anything other than I knew there was a Jesus and I knew there was God. But I didn't know anything about salvation. I knew about hell, but I think even back then I thought I wasn't going to go there. I was a Catholic. I grew up. I had gotten baptized as a baby, so I guess that I'm on my way to heaven. Now, much like the world would have it, knowing what I know now, we just know that it's a lot better to have parents who are Christians, and we want our kids to grow up knowing what's the best way. But much like the world would have it, we should go to school. But as a Christian, if we're following this path that God wants us, we should go to school with a godly purpose to learn the truths and in every discipline that we're taking. There's a lot of things that schools teach now that are against God. They're no good. And it gets even worse when you go to college. I've been hearing how about all these classes that they have at college level that are just, why? How can you get credit for these type of classes that are just on things that have nothing to do with getting a job or anything like that? But that's what they're teaching. So we should go to school, just like the world would want us to, but we should go to school with a purpose to learn what God would have us to learn. We should get jobs to support our family. That God does want us to do that. But we should also know that God puts us in a job to be a witness to those that we're around, not just to earn money, because our real job here on earth is to be a witness for Him and to tell others about Jesus and how they might be saved. And while we're on that job, we're not supposed to get sucked in or conformed into the lifestyles of our coworkers. At the same time, we're supposed to influence them and try to get them to come to know Christ. Amen. And later on, then, although we may retire from our worldly jobs, God never wants us to retire from doing His work, no matter what our age is or what we're doing. And fortunately, we can still do His work no matter what our age is or what our physical capabilities are. I mean, if we happen to be somebody that's homebound, we can pray a lot more than others might by just constantly praying all the time. But we can, even if we do retire, we can still be praying and working at our church, doing things that we should be doing in the ministries there. God always will have His purpose for us as long as we're alive. I was thinking about my grandpa who retired when he was. I looked it up now because I forgot I had my Bible. I had the funeral notice and the thing when we went to his funeral. He was actually 93 when he passed away, but he retired when he was 60. And I remember being with my grandpa. He lived in Wisconsin, and we had a lot of fun times, but I didn't, you know, all I remember are the good times until I got older and I realized that he spent most of his time in his retirement just sitting around the house with no purpose except to smoke his cigars and drink. And that was it, you know, and let Grandma attend to whatever needs he had. And we would see them a few times. They didn't travel too much, but they would come and see us, and we'd have fun, and we'd go see them in Wisconsin. But I just thought about that. He retired when he was 60. He didn't die till he was 93. So for 33 years, a third of his life, all he was doing was just sitting around with no purpose. And I just can't imagine doing that. And I'm glad I don't have to worry about that, because if I do retire before Jesus comes to get us, I know I'll be busy, you know, with whatever we're doing at church is the most important thing. Even if I don't have a job, you know, God's still going to have a work for me to do, and He has work for all of us to do. So as we trust Jesus to guide us in this life, He is preparing us to be with Him in heaven. And once again, you reap what you sow. If you are going to go down that path of following God, you're going to reap a godly eternity in heaven. So my question is, what are you preparing yourself for? You can let the world conform you to its ways and reap an eternity in hell, a place that was not prepared for you. Or you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and sow Jesus into your life and let Him conform you to the ways of God and guide you so you may reap the reward of eternity in heaven, which is a place prepared for everyone and anyone that seeks God and becomes born again in Jesus Christ. Gary and I are going to play a song right now, and it talks about the two different ways we can go, we can choose.
Tell me, friend, what will you do? will soon be passed away. The final invitation could be ring out today. You're standing at the crossroads, and the Savior's calling you. This life days on earth are few. This life has many choices. Eternity has two. This life has many choices. Eternity.
Four, praise the Lord. Well, I've got the wrong cup again. Amen. All right. Well, I've got four names still in the cup, but I'm looking at the time, and I think we might have to push these four into next week. Amen. We won't have the video next week, so that'll give us a little bit more time, knowing that most of you guys are sick, and by the sound of my voice, you can tell that I'm not the greatest either. Amen. I don't want to keep us here any longer than we have to be, so I'm going to have to push the next four over. So men that are in the cup, don't get sick before next week. Amen. Make sure you're back next week. Amen. And we'll keep these four. Who we leave off with? Katie, you pick first. And Sharon, you pick second. And you might pick your husband. Amen. You never know. Amen. You might pick Jeff Jr. Jeff Jr. is like, no. Amen. We praise God for the men that have been already prepared and ready to step up and speak. Amen. G2 spoke about temptation, and Brother Fred about the choices that we have. What are we being prepared for? Amen. By the way, society is trying to prepare us for failure and for doom and to be conformed into the image of this world. Amen. But Christ wants us to be transformed into his image. Amen. So you let God transform your life. Amen. Have G2 and Fred go to the bank and make sure you get a chance to shake their hands, letting them know that you appreciated their messages and what an encouragement they were. Be praying for the next men that will be stepping up as well, because they have a challenge set before them. And let me mention this as well. I already talked to Pastor White about it and the choir. Talked with Devin last night, and Charmaine is not going to be playing the piano while Devin is away. He really wants her to spend time tending to the family and to the children, so she's not going to be doing the playing for us, so we're going to be taking up the slack for her. Please be in prayer for her. You know, being a single mom in the ministry here is consuming with the piano, and so he really wants her to focus on taking care of the children. I had a good talk with him last night, and so I support him 100% on that. So please be patient with her, be patient with the choir, be patient with us through the adjustment of him being gone for the next 6 to 8 months. And we looked at it in retrospect. He's been deployed every year that he has been married to her and has missed his children's birthdays consecutively, and so he really has taken a toll here, family related. So please bear with us in that capacity. The choir is going to be doing some different things here as of late, but be flexible with us, just like we're asking the choir to be flexible with us as well. So that is what's coming up. Be in prayer for those things. Devin did reach Europe safely. He's at an undisclosed location. We don't know how long he's going to be there, but we do know it's probably going to be a minimum of 6 months. Could go all the way to 8 months, so pray for him as well as Charmaine in that endeavor. Amen. We're going to be dismissing a word of prayer. You go ahead, let's stand. Amen. And we'll just have a word of prayer. Pastor White, why don't you come on? Reflect upon the things that G2 talked about. He looked at several biblical characters that found themselves in temptation's way. But then he also looked at the Christ and how Christ said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So Christ showed us how to overcome temptation. And Fred so eloquently showed us we've got choices ahead of us. And society's trying to prepare us something, but God wants to prepare us as well. And guess what? Heaven is something you want to be prepared for. If you've not chosen Christ, amen, get away from the temptation. Trust Christ as your Savior tonight. Be born again, because it's not automatic. It's not. Amen. Heaven is a home for people that have reservations. If you don't have reservations, you don't have a place. Say, preacher, how do I get my reservations? Get born again. Amen. And so make sure that you're being prepared for that place. And then when temptation comes your way tomorrow, just like G2 said, pick up the Bible. It is written. Fight the devil with something he can't win against, and that's the Bible. Amen. He'll beat you down. Amen. But he is no match for the Word of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Pastor White's going to come and pray, and let's just reflect upon those thoughts. Amen.
Thank you,
Pastor White.
Amen. Father, thank you again for tonight, Lord. We thank you for your blessings, and God, we truly are privileged tonight to be in your house, and the things that were shared with us from the Word of God has been true. And I pray that we will apply those things to our lives. And again, as we gather here tonight, Lord, as many as there are, under the sound of my voice, there may still be one here tonight that does not know Christ the Savior. And God, I pray that it wouldn't leave without making a decision for you. I pray that they would come and let someone take the Bible and show them how they could be saved. And again, as we look forward to this week, Lord, may we use just the tools that you've given us, and that is the Word of God, to defeat the devil and not let him have our way in our lives. And Father, that we would live for the right things and not be influenced by the world, that we would be the influencer and not the influencee. And we praise you tonight, and thank you for the men that have come and shared their hearts. Thank you for the messages this morning. Lord, what a blessing and a privilege it was to see again how we can look to the hills from which cometh our help, and our help cometh from the Lord. Again, we pray your blessings as we leave here tonight. Bring us back Wednesday night at the appointed time, and we just look forward again to a blessing from you in this week to come. We ask all of these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.